Welcome to another episode of the Blue Crew, a New York Rangers podcast on the Believe Podcast Network. I'm your host, Johnny Lazarus, joined by my good friend, Cody Frankel. And before we get into any Ranger hockey talk this week, we just want to talk about, you know, our friends, our family, anyone who listens to this podcast or has anyone involved in Israel or, you know, knows anyone there. Our hearts are completely with you right now. Obviously, you know, there's a lot going on that we're not going to dive deep into, but Cody and I both have a lot of friends, family in Israel, and, you know, what's going on right now has been super scary. And Cody, if you want to talk about it quickly.
Yeah, no, I mean, there's, you know, there's not too much to say. It's honestly terrible. You know, if you're not political, like I'm not a political person, but I would urge you to look online and get a little educated. It's really terrible. And yeah, it really sucks. And I hate to quote like a movie reference here, but it almost reminds me of, did you ever see the movie Red Dawn?
No.
Dude, you should really watch it. It's you'd like it. It's with Chris Hemsworth. Mm-hmm. It like Asian militants, I mean, I know they're terrorists. Hamas is obviously terrorists, but Asian militants like come in and try and take control over like parts of the US, and it like, mm-hmm. like they come in on like paraglide. It literally is surreal. You know, what's happening. I don't know if you saw that Twitter video or TikTok video of literally hundreds of Israelis like at a rave, and like paragliders were coming in on their, like, it's honestly crazy. It's crazy. And, you know, like Johnny said, our hearts go out to everybody involved, in Israel. And, you know, everybody I know has either a friend, a brother, a family member, you know, a friend's brother's cousin that is there. So, you know, it's really crazy and it's really scary.
Yeah. And we know, you know, people don't tune into us to hear about this kind of stuff, but it's very close to home for the two of us. So we just, you know, wanted to say our hearts go out to everybody that's, you know, got family or anyone in Israel. And, you know, not to, obviously it's something very hard to transition out of, but,
yeah,
you know, Cody had some very exciting things happen this weekend, and Avery as well, and, you know, myself included. Avery's not with us today, but Cody, tell everybody about your new son.
My son is the cutest.
Is that weird
thing
to say out loud?
No, because you've always been like my son, so it's fun. no, my
we'll
son.
We'll get the mood up here a little bit. Sorry for the start, guys, but, you know,
yes.
Obviously.
Yes. My son Griffin was born. He's honestly such a cutie, Griffin James. Yeah, he's adorable. He's honestly a dream. He's a dream. He's been amazing. You know, everybody's been asking me like, "Oh, do you feel like a dad? Like, when did your dad moment hit?" I would say like my dad moment hit yesterday when I was on the couch and I just started feeling like my hands wet and he shit all over me. So, that was my dad moment. But no, seriously, it's been just surreal. I mean,
well, I have to say something negative.
Yeah.
The New York Rangers have not won a hockey game since Griffin James has been born.
But they also haven't won a hockey game since 2 weeks before he was born. So,
okay, so fair enough.
So there's enough. That.
Yeah. He might be the curse.
Yeah. Or he might be the one to like break the curse and show them that they need to wake the fuck up. Otherwise he's going to be, you know, the starting left winger in 18 years. So,
well, on that note, it is officially game week. The Rangers open up their season in Buffalo. I'll be there, which I'm very
so
excited
jealous
about.
Of that, dude. I mean, not jealous of going to Buffalo, 'cause I feel like Buffalo fucking blows, but No offense.
I'm not the biggest Buffalo fan.
Yeah, I'm jealous. I'm jealous. I don't know when I'm going to be able to go to a hockey game.
I haven't been around the team for the past week. I've been in Buffalo for the Chicklets Cup, which was so much fun. But, you know, I'm sure we're going to have a lot of fan questions about this. But just to kick the show off right now, here were the lines and practice.
Wait a second. I'm so sorry for interrupting you. Wait a second. Yeah. Are you in Buffalo right now?
I'm in Rochester right now.
What's with you and going to Buffalo?
Well, I was in Buffalo for the Chicklets Cup, and I'm with my good friend Jake Rivera, who so kindly had me hang up his jersey behind me so he can be featured on the show tonight.
That's hilarious.
In his wife's office. Shout out Taylor and Jake for letting me stay here for 3 nights. But I haven't been to Jake's house because he lives in Rochester, and I, you know, not in a rush to come here. No offense to them. Yeah. But, you know, I'm very tight with Jake. I've known him since 2017. He was the captain of my Maccabee Games team. and I thought it'd be a great opportunity to come hang out. His dog's actually trying to get in the door right now.
No, that was my dog, dude.
No, here too.
Oh, that barked?
Yeah.
Oh, my dog, because my dog just barked. My dog's right outside our door and just barked.
So, yeah, they were kind enough to let me stay for 3 nights because I figured I'm coming to Buffalo. I might as well stay here and go to the home, like, season opener. So, totally. You know, see some friends, hang out. So, I'll be in Rochester.
Do you have to get tickets or they're hooking you up?
No, I got the credential for the Hockey News. So, okay. I'm covering the game.
For the who?
The Hockey News.
Hockey News? Okay. No, that's cool.
So, yeah, I'm in Rochester now, going back to Buffalo Wednesday. And you can tell my voice, you know, great weekend with the Chicklets Cup. Mm-hmm. Went 9-0. Played on two teams, didn't lose a game. I'm the man.
You played on two teams?
Yeah, I played in the Roller A division and the Roller B division.
Wait. I thought you were ice skating.
Dude, what?
Yo, I could swear I saw your story and you were literally ice skating.
No, it was rollerblades.
Oh, those, dude, you should have. I'm a beast at rollerblading. Oh my God, dude.
All right, we didn't need any help. I literally didn't lose a game.
You could have doubled your statue. That's all I'm saying. Okay. You could have doubled your statue. Roller hockey and street hockey is the only things I'm good at.
I mean, you were kind of busy this weekend, so.
True. You're right. But for the next one, dude, I didn't know it was roller hockey. Dude, I would fucking dangle around dudes on roller skates. All right. I thought it was ice skating, so I was like, oh, I'll pass on that.
We'll keep that in mind for the next one.
All right.
But yeah, so the Rangers lines as of today, everyone knows Will Cooley made the opening night roster.
Loved it. Very pumped
for him. He's earned it. He's right now second line right wing. So the lines look like this from Vince Mercogliano because he tweeted out the lines this morning. Kreider, Mika, Kako, Panarin, Hedl, Cooley.
Lafreniere,
Trocheck, Wheeler.
Okay.
Goudreau, Bonino, Pitlick, and Vizi as the extra forward. And the D pairs, as expected, Lindgren, Fox, Miller, Trouba, Gustafsson, Schneider, and Jones as a 7th D.
Dude, Laf, Tro, and Wheeler could be the perfect line to actually get him to start producing points.
Did you happen to read? You read Larry Brooks' article, right?
I'm the one who sent it to you, bro.
Yeah. So I don't always read other writers. With my writing, I don't want to like.
I've never read one of your articles.
That's fine. You talk to me every day, but I don't like to read other people's art because sometimes it just gets in my brain and I could like take their thought.
I only read two people's articles, and it's Vince and Larry. And you know, not to say, I mean, listen, Larry's great. He's definitely opinionated, but
I loved
that was a great article. No, that was one of the better ones as of recent for sure. Yeah, sorry. Keep going because I know you're about to go into that a little bit.
Cody, when you sent this into like our group chat, I was like, you know, right from the title, I was like, okay, I have to read this. For anyone who hasn't read Larry Brooks' article yet, it was This is the headline: Alexi Lafreniere's preseason has been unfathomably bad. Here's what the Rangers should do about it. So, you know, right from there, that's an attention grabber. Larry was spot on with his analysis.
No, read the whole article word for word.
I'm not doing that. But you know, anyone who read it knows that Larry was pretty spot on with his analysis of Lafreniere's preseason. It wasn't very impressive. Was it a little harsh? Yes, but it was certainly accurate. You know, it's going to be really interesting to see how this whole Lafreniere season plays out because the opportunity appeared to have slipped away, right? Like, and the season hasn't even started yet.
I think you and I have been bigger Lafreniere supporters than most.
Yeah. Yeah.
A lot of people have been very critical of him. You and I have been really trying to, you know, jump on the flashes, showing all the potential this kid can have, that he still can have. But, you know, I think when you play 5 preseason games, like after an underwhelming season to begin with, and look even worse than you did in a season where you didn't do too much, it's really, really tough to gain momentum. And again, you and I have said this many times in the past, like, I don't want to take too much stock into the preseason. You know, I think for Laf, it's like this year, I'm giving him the 82 games. If he's not like, you know, if he's not like a 55, 60 point player making flashy plays, like it's going to, again, I mean, I'll say it again. I don't think he's going to be a Ranger next year. I think quite frankly, that is the scenario. It's either he gets into like, not superstar status, but like, you know, a tick below all-star, right? Like very, very good or better, or he's not going to be on this team. They have too much talent like waiting in the wings to just plug in, you know, top six, top nine spots just based on draft pick. It's just, it's something that they can't do. They have a guy in Othman, they have a guy in Perot, like, you know, Cooley, like I'm sure they don't want him to be a fourth line guy. Right. Mm. Like, so they have too much talent to just sit around and wait for Loft to like really, really explode. All that said, like, it's going to be a really tough look because he hasn't been doing too much, and now you're going to get it. I mean, what can you, like, assuming he doesn't have the season you want, like, there's not too much you're going to be able to get for him. Like, you're going to have to find a sucker to like be like, oh yeah, I see all this, like, yeah, let's, you know, take a first, whatever. Or you're going to have to find another disgruntled player and make a swap one for one. Like, those are the two options.
All right. Well, that was a great rant, first of all.
Thank you.
Second of all, I do want to say we also have a great interview today with my good friend Julie Stewart Binks, which we'll get to after some fan questions. But while we're on the topic of Laff, I think we should go into the questions because there are a lot about him. Okay. So the first one is from NealTime24. Should the Rangers have traded Laffy last year?
That's a great question. It would have been a mistake. I think you needed to.
The value wasn't high enough.
The value wasn't high enough.
And it's not that it's higher now, but.
Correct. But it, at least, like I said many times, I know there's, you know, a former Edmonton Oiler that Laff gets compared to a lot. But the difference is from him, from Yakupov, is he's been dramatically, like, slowly, gradually increasing. Like, each year he's been doing slightly better than the last, but not enough to make a dent, right? So this is the season you hope he takes that big, big type of, you know, even more than a Hedl type of leap, right? So to trade him last season would just, it would have been a mistake because he would just go to, like, the Canadians or someone else and probably rake there because he'd be on PP1, he'd be on the top line, and he'd make us look like dummies, and you just wouldn't have gotten the value you needed from him.
Yeah, I agree. I think trading him last year would have just been giving up too early, right? Yeah. Like, yeah. At least let it play out. And if he fails, then he fails.
Yeah.
But, you know, I think it's better to play the long game as opposed to just like, oh, this kid hasn't figured it out by 21 years old. He's done, you know? So yeah. I wouldn't have traded him last year. I don't even know what they would have gotten in return. I don't think the return would have been good enough.
Yeah.
But I do fear what the return would be if it doesn't work out this year at the same time.
Like, what do you consider not working out? Cause that's obviously what the return's kind of contingent on, right? So,
well, could you also settle for Lafreniere to be a career third liner?
No, because it's like on the Rangers, you're saying?
Yeah.
No, because where is he going to fit, dude? They literally have two.
They third line left wing.
How? They have,
what if that's just his ceiling?
No. You're misunderstanding what I'm saying. How is he going to fit there when you have Cooley, who's going to be a top nine guy probably next year? You have Othman, who's going to be a top six guy probably next year. And then in 2 years, you have Perreault, who's going to be a top six guy. So given all that, knowing you still have four or five other guys locked up for the next 4 or 5 years, it's just a I mean, you're going to be a third line grinder, like grind, you know, like, I don't know. I think it's a tough look. I don't know.
Maybe he just buys into that, you know?
I don't have too many sources, I'll be honest. But from what I've heard is he's not happy as it is. And I can't imagine if he has a bad season in New York getting absolutely grilled on by media, by on social media, by fans. I cannot imagine he's going to say, all right, you know what? I'm going to prove everybody wrong. I'm going to sign a 4-year deal here. Let's do it. He's going to say, get me the fuck out of this place and, you know, send me somewhere where I can thrive in a top six role. And, you know, like, I mean, that's just my opinion, but like that, I can't imagine he's going to settle for just being a top nine guy. It's like,
yeah,
you know, like Kravtsov didn't do it. And Laff is a significantly better prospect than he was, you know?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And Kravtsov has probably played himself out of the NHL for life.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, he can go kick rocks, but.
All right, let's go into the next one because we have a lot more Lafreniere stuff here. But this one's from J_Chico93. How far do the Rangers make it this year?
It's really, really hard to assess right now, given that preseason. They had a pretty bad preseason. I know Quickie started, what, 3 games, and he looked terrible. The defense didn't help him on one or two of those games, but he did not look good. It's not a fair assessment, though, because he's not going to start half of our games. He's going to start 20 games, maybe, and he's probably going to, you know, he's a veteran. He's won many cups. Like, he's probably going to pick it up as he gets in the groove a little bit. So I think that's a little bit slanted of how we've looked in the preseason. But my answer is it's really hard to assess right now. Like, that's my answer. I just don't know. I don't know. I mean, it could be all the way. If everything clicks, it could be like nowhere close.
Who's FaceTiming you?
My mother-in-law, man. When you have kids, you'll learn. Just people just don't care about your time anymore. They just want to see the baby.
Who was the person that tweeted like the Rangers went 1-5 in the preseason under Alain Vigneault in his first year and then went to the Stanley Cup final? I saw that tweet. That was circling around. Did you see that?
Yeah, maybe we'll win it this time.
I don't remember who tweeted it, but yeah, that was definitely circling around. So I think the Rangers, you know, ceiling is, I don't know if they're good enough to win the East. They can definitely get to the conference final. Mm. I have a lot of confidence in saying that. I don't think they make it past the conference final. I would say their ceiling is the conference final this year. Unless Igor, again, is lights out.
Would you rather the Rangers be a first or second round exit? Or just make it to the cup and lose?
That's an easy answer.
you think make it to the cup and lose, knowing it'll rip your heart in half? So for me, the vibe I'm getting with these Rangers is I do see a cup in their future. I really do. Or at least making it to the cup. But I very much feel like it's going to be a one-time thing. And when they get to the show, they need to win it. That I'm just getting, like, just seeing how the NHL is trending, seeing how good the East is, seeing what's going on. Like, if you even look at the Avs, like, you know, they're nasty and they didn't get back. Like, it's, I know they had, you know, they had some stuff going on, whatever, but I'm very much like starting to get the impression, like, I still think we're going to get to the cup. I just don't, like, we're going to need to win it when we get there because I don't know if we're going to be able to get back a second time. And that's why I'm very nervous. Like it. Yeah.
Well, I'll spin that and say, like, I think it would benefit them more next year if they lost in like the first, second round, as opposed to like getting to the cup final and losing. Cause then they'd be probably banged up next season, like after a run like that and coming up short. Yeah. But I'm not like rooting for that. Like I'm rooting to watch.
Well, of course. As long
as possible. You know,
of course. I meant more so like for your heart, like which would your heart be able to take more? Cause for me, you know, 2014 broke me. So
yeah,
it's, you know, I don't know why, man, I'm just getting the vibe at this point. Like they're very much going to get to the cup once, whatever, with this core, I feel it in my bones, but I don't like, I hope they win it, but it's like a question mark for me right now. And I think they need to win it because I don't know if they'll be able to get back a second time.
Well, here's the question then. Would you rather be heartbroken or extremely disappointed?
Right now, at this moment in time, I think extremely disappointed because I'm telling my gut is telling me they're only going to make it to the cup once. So knowing they'd lose the cup, in my mind, I would think they were not getting back there with this core.
So for me, like, I'm still disgusted at how last year ended. Mm. And where I'm like, had that team gone to the Stanley Cup final and lost to Vegas, I could like live with that. But I can't live with like losing to the Devils in the first round. Like that's a lifetime of chirping.
Yeah,
the Devils have that on us forever. Devil fans.
Well, unless we beat them this year.
But you know, well, yeah. But you know what I mean? Like you can live with heartbreak, I think, but you can't live with like constant disappointment. I mean, like, you know, think about the other teams that you root
for.
Well,
you can because with heartbreak, you're like, oh my God, we were this close, and now you have to live with that forever if you don't get
back. But at least you like felt it though. You know, you like felt that. Like what we had last year, it's like, how the fuck could they not have gotten out of the first round with that team?
Do you think they're, I mean, they were top three cup favorites. And the crazy thing is they weren't even with that team, they weren't expected to get out of the East because Boston was, and then they both lost. So it's, listen, I've said this before. I mean, you know, the playoffs are just a wild, wild beast. And yeah. Hockey is like the one sport where just, you know, upsets happen every single year. I the crazy part is like the Rangers were the underdogs, yeah, on paper, mm-hmm, like on, yeah, in terms,
no,
of
points, not on paper,
or not on paper, paper, not, sorry, but in like terms on of points and like, and yeah, on sports books and stuff, because the Devils had the better season. But then, yeah, everybody was like shook, like even us, that they lost because of the roster they had. So it's, mm-hmm, you know, but all right, keep going.
Yeah, let's go to the next one. And these are like all there's, so it's like two pages of just like Laf. This one's from Tom Palmieri 36. You think the Rangers should get rid of Laffy and go after Kane if he doesn't perform this year? I don't think that's a good move at all.
No, no.
I think that's a lateral move.
Yeah.
Like,
no, no.
Like, if Laf's playing third line, like, you're going to get Kane to play second line right wing again, like he did last year. And listen, Patrick Kane's a great player, but like, he's not going to be what this team needs right now. And as much as I love Patrick Kane, and I thought they needed him last year, it's pretty obvious that it's not the direction they should go in.
No, they need their weakness was depth, right? Their weakness was depth, yeah, and they need grinders. They need tough guys. And I think they got the right pieces this season. They just need one more player to fill in that, you know, to push VC out of the top nine. And, you know,
he's not even in the lineup right now.
I know he's not in the actual lineup now, but, Who was on the third line again? It was Laf.
It's Lafreniere, Trocheck, Wheeler.
And then who was on the second line?
It was Panarin, Hedel, Cooley.
Cool. They're playing Cooley on line two. See,
as
so
right,
that's
as of right now.
So that's the thing, right? Like, if Cooley ends up being a stud, I mean, he had 50 goals like two seasons ago, and you know, in the OHL.
This
so,
also could change by Thursday. That was just the practice, sure, line today.
Totally, totally. But if he ends up being a stud and we don't need that top nine player, then like, let's do it. But I don't see, like, I think they need just a pure scorer in that top nine, like not a Kane, just my opinion. But
I have a feeling that Cooley will drop back to the third line, and I, maybe Lafreniere gets another chance, but I don't really know. So let's go to this next one.
I feel another, like Wheeler's gonna jump off.
Another Laf one. No, Wheeler, I think, is solidified third liner. I think that's what they want from him.
I think that's what they want for him, but I think he's very much going to get the VC and Gaudreau treatment, that if Cooley doesn't perform, he's going to jump up as opposed to moving somebody else up. Just my thoughts on that.
All right, so this next one's from Mike_D92. If Laf begins to struggle early, does Othman come up and take his ice time?
No, he doesn't. I think they're going to give Laf at least 50 games till the trade deadline. I mean, I think they're at least going to give him till the trade deadline. If, you know, if a game 55 by or 60 by the trade deadline and he has like 26 points or something like that, then yeah, they might make him available. They might try and wiggle him and some, you know, a player who can come in and you know, a vet or something, like, or I don't know. It's so many unknowns right now, because you need Laf to perform, but you also have zero cap space. So
yeah, I said it last week. Like, I think Othman finishes the year with the team as an every night guy.
Yeah.
I don't think it's necessarily taking Lafreniere's ice time.
Correct. Yeah.
So the next one is from Jackknife 82. How long of a leash do you think Lav will give Laf at right wing?
Yeah. Oh, at right wing.
Yeah.
I mean, he's not even starting at right wing, so I don't think it really matters. Yeah.
I think he'll be interchangeable. You know, with injuries and everything, they're going to have to adjust the lineup. Like, we'll see games with Lafreniere on the right wing. We'll see games with him on the left wing. It's just going to be how the roster looks, you know, each night in and night out, because things happen, right? Like, injuries happen. Guys play good, they get moved up. Guys play bad, they get moved down. Like, Lafreniere, I think, will be interchangeable. I think we're going to see him go on both sides for a lot of the year.
Mm.
Next one from Brandman 7694. Have you ever been in the Delta Club at MSG? If yes, how do you like it? I've been for a Knicks game, and it was incredible. The sushi is so good. The food is amazing.
Is the Delta Club the one on the
locker room level, I think.
Yeah. Never been there. I've been in boxes, but never been in the Delta Club.
It's great. I mean, you know, I don't think it's so necessary, but definitely a fun time. I've only been for a Knicks game, so like, I don't know what it would be like for a Ranger game, but highly recommend doing it once for sure. We're going to the next one. James Fitz 19. Are the Rangers sleepers to win the cup?
So I'll let you go there first.
I say absolutely not. Could they win the cup? Yes. Are they likely to win the cup? No. Are they sleepers? I would say no, because they've been talked about and hyped up over the last 2 years to win the cup. So, you know, to me, a sleeper to win the cup would be like the LA Kings, who, like, you know, haven't been hyped up as much, but now have a much stronger roster going into the year. But they're still, you know, the Edmonton Oilers, the Vegas Golden Knights, the Colorado Avalanche, the Dallas Stars in the West that are probably more favored to win the cup and more talked about. So a team like the Kings that haven't gotten out of the first round in quite a bit, you know, are more of a sleeper. Like in the East, I'd say a sleeper to win the cup.
Ottawa.
Ottawa's like below a sleeper because they haven't even made the playoffs. So, like, you know, a sleeper in the East would be like Pittsburgh, maybe.
Bro, you've been literally saying Pittsburgh is going to win the cup for like 4 years now.
But they're probably a sleeper. I
agree with that, but I also think, like, to an extent they can be a sleeper because it seems like everybody's forgotten about us. Like, power rankings are putting us at 13 and 11.
Yeah,
like,
that's fair.
They're kind of forgetting about us a little bit, and this team's dangerous, man. This team is dangerous. They just need to click. It's the biggest thing for the Rangers is going to be, one, you can't go like 0 for 21 on a power play in six games and expect to win games. It's just not how hockey works. Mm-hmm. And two, you need to figure out ways to score 5-on-5 goals. Like, those to me are going to be the two biggest things to them, because it's their two weaknesses, right? So,
All right, the next one from Chio Follow. This is for me. What were your stats in the Chicklets Cup? I didn't keep track of my stats.
Yes, you did.
I did have a hat trick, though, in the semifinal game. And I think I scored in the final game. I had probably 10 goals in 9 games, I would say.
That's sick, bro.
Beast. Yeah, I'm a beast. But I went 9.
Yo, did you play G's team in the final?
No, I was playing in the – so it was actually – it was really interesting this year. Barstool didn't have their own team, so they, like, raffled off Grinnell, R.A., Colby Armstrong, and Matt Murley. So teams got to, like, bid on them, and it was like a somewhat, like, you know, touching story, you know, obviously really sad story, but this family lost their 14-year-old son to a drunk driving accident, and they bid and won Grinnell and RA for $1,400, and the kid was 14 years old. It was like a somewhat of like a, you know, universe sign of, you know, a good weekend and whatnot. But you know, the auction was, like, really special for that. And I think they ended up playing in the C division. But, you know, it was really cool that they got to do that. And
so each division had a winner?
Yeah, there was, you know, roller A, roller B, roller C, roller D. And then there was street A, street B, street C, street D.
Did that have, like, any indication of skill, or no? It was literally just A, B, C, D.
No, it was skill. Like, the A division was the best, B, second best, C.
How do they determine that? Like,
it's the way teams sign up. Like, if you want better competition, you go to A. You know, there's only tryouts.
Were you guys A or B?
So my elbow room team, like, with the hockey guys.
And, that you won. And
that was B. But then I had a bunch of buddies from Long Island that I played with growing up that were an A.
And what place did that one come in?
I literally won every game I played in. We went 9-0. I won both.
You guys won both leagues?
Yeah.
Sick, bro.
I'm the man. I'm the man.
But you were benched on A, though, I heard. That sucks.
No, dude.
All right, let's keep going.
Let me keep talking about myself. Jay Bradley, one underscore. Any chance the Rangers re-sign Kane and LTIR him until playoffs?
No.
So I'm, like, so tired of that question.
I've said no from the start. It doesn't make sense. They don't have the room. Yes, no.
Yeah. All right. Goner. Next one from Mark Schiraldi. Gusta. We're calling him Gus Bus, not Gusta. Gus Bus needs to be QB on second power play unit. Lauf and Kako need to be good, or else we won't go far.
That's true. True.
Not a question, but facts.
Cool. Yeah. Cool.
He had a follow up and said, also, congrats to Cody on the new baby and Avery on the new job.
Go Rangers. Thanks, legend.
Very nice of you, Mark. Thank you. And the last one from a friend of the show, JC Merlino. Why didn't Cody name his kid Laffy?
Because Laffy sucks. No, I'm kidding. you know, just wouldn't sound as nice as I did.
Laffy Frankel actually is kind of sick,
dude. That's kind of fresh. I tried really hard for Henrique for the middle name and just got shut down beyond belief.
Damn.
Yeah, but I might have him be a fox for Halloween, and then I'll be Adam Fox for Halloween.
Nice. Sick. That's a good one. All right. Well, thank you everyone for sending the questions. Puck drop is Thursday night, but before that, we're going to talk to Julie Stewart Binks. So let's kick it over to that interview. This week on the Blue Crew, it is my absolute honor to welcome in the person that taught me everything I know as far as the NHL media landscape goes, the 3-time Telly Award winner. You can catch her on Bet Rivers and SNY and basically any social media platform that you have. Welcome to the show, my dear friend, Julie Stewart Binks. What's going on? How are you?
Les, thank you so much for having me. Please do not put that responsibility on me that I told you where the bodies were buried in the NHL landscape. That's for sure. I was a grizzled vet that was like, meh, meh, meh. This is my gripes with whatever. And you're like, this is like, you know, bright-eyed, bushy-tailed young kid that I will give you credit. I was thinking about it. Our first broadcast that like didn't really broadcast for the NHL. There was no audio. You rolled with it. Like that could really rattle a lot of people. And it's just like, you rolled with it. It was a little like, you know, it was new. We were doing something new. And that's a sign of like, all right, you're in the right industry, because that happens obviously, as you know, all the time. So you were new into the industry, but like it was like you were ready. You came in hot. So
it was,
and now look at where you're going. You're just like,
it was way more rattling when I spilled all over myself and you just recorded me instead of helping.
One of the best videos ever when Johnny Lazarus spilled water all over the table. And the look on my face was so excited, because I was like, this is amazing content. I just like grabbed my phone and I was like, I have to get this on Instagram right now. And I'm like, because we had like a sky camera video or whatever, catching it. And I was just like, yeah. And then Jill didn't even like notice. She was like, not even like paying attention to that. And we didn't even help you, which I feel really bad seeing that. I was like, my God, what a jerk I was.
But for those who don't know what we're referring to, Julie and I met on the third period live show back in the 2022 conference finals for the NHL, and we've been best friends basically ever since. Right? Am I wrong in saying that?
BFFAENAAA.
What's that?
Forever and ever and always.
Okay, well, tell our listeners a little bit more about you, because you've basically been everywhere, right? As far as covering the game goes, you know, started at Fox Sports, then ESPN, then Barstool, Fubo, you know, you've been around the block, right? So can you talk about just your start in media? I know you played hockey growing up as well. And, you know, what got you into the NHL media in the first place?
Yes, thank you. I started as a pylon and I continued to be a pylon on the ice. But you know what? I know my role. And I got into hockey because I was a big Leafs fan growing up in Toronto. And as that's actually most of the media in Toronto was a big Leafs fan. So that's why they got into the sport. But I decided when I was in university at Queens, which is in Kingston, Ontario, where the Kingston Frontenacs play of the OHL. And I decided, hey, I want to try media. My mom was a broadcaster at CBC in Canada. And she kind of like, I went to school for sports psychology, AKA I did a degree in phys ed and drama, because those were the two best subjects in high school. Did I have a plan at all? Like psychology, I was going to have to like do psych classes. No, I was just like, whatever I liked, I did, which I guess like helps me now. So went, got into it. My mom told me to volunteer for the radio station. They were filled. So I went to the TV station, started just doing like videos on like, hi, I'm with the Queens soccer team. And I was, if they're so bad, they're so awkward, but they're like so necessary, because like, then you get out all the awkwardness early, and some of it stays forever, evidently, but you get out as much as you can. And then I,
just so you know, like, I'm okay, avoiding the soccer talk on here, 'cause I don't know shit about soccer.
Yeah, that's fine. I did my master's in England, actually. So that's why I got into football is what we call it over in Blighty. But I then, whatever, long story short, got into, worked at Hockey Night in Canada as like a shot list or logger. So I would always get Islanders and Blue Jackets games Saturday nights. And I just sit there, and every time something would happen, you have to like log it, like shot from the point, like shot from the point, like right glove save, blah, blah, blah. Like it was really intense. It was like being a courtroom transcriber. Like, you know, you'd go through, it'd be like, just go through the game once, and you'd like make mistakes and stuff like that. And then it'd be like, go back again and redo it. So it was great. I loved it. And then
it's a crazy job.
And it was also in a room with like no windows. And it was like, but I loved it. And then like, I would also then make this is before you were born, Johnny. Like we had videotapes in a VCR. VHS, I would make from the OHL broadcasts. I would take like the ISOs that they would have from some of the guys, like name like anyone who would have played in the OHL in like 2010 or something like that. I would Ryan Strome. There we go. I'd get Ryan Strome, and anytime they mention him and just an ISO of him, I'd have to just record it onto this tape, and it'd be like Ryan Strome's tape. And I'd just be like, forward, stop, press. And I just sat in a room also like that, doing that. And that was in case like they got drafted and someday they could go back and look at this footage. So just archived all this stuff. At this time, like that's a great job for someone coming out of college. You're just like, yeah, I'm working at Hockey Night Canada. Even though I came in there thinking like, I could be on TV. Like, come on. And they're like, no, you can't. You can't. And so I went to do, someone told me some advice. They're like, if you want to be on TV, go be on TV. And so like, go leave Toronto basically. So I went and I did volunteer reporting for the OHL. I was doing it in Kingston. So then I would go stay with my friends who are still at university, just like crash on their couch, cover the Frontenacs games. And Mark Potter, this guy who was like the host, he's like legend in the OHL world, would like let me do the interviews and he'd host. So it wasn't really like a role for me. But then it was getting really expensive to take a Greyhound bus to like Kingston all the time. And, you know, you're not getting paid. So I then decided to do the Niagara Ice Dogs. And I would stay at my grandma's retirement residence and then cover them. And
that's pretty fucking crazy.
Yeah. I would stay. I did workout classes with like the retirement people. They were like wonderful. They'd be like, who's that over there? I'm like, they're like, it's Myra's granddaughter. She's a reporter. I'm like, barely, but like, you know.
Yeah, wearing a GoPro in it.
Yeah. It was great though. Like I then got great experience doing like live games with the OHL Tonight. So then, you know, just kept going with that kind of stuff. And work with like the Bruins, work with CBC, doing like writing, kind of just kept, you know, anything that I could possibly do to kind of get involved. Wrote for CBC for like the Memorial Cup when Gerard Gallant won it against Dave Cameron's Mississauga St. Michael's Majors, RIP, not a team anymore. They are a different team now. And then like after that, of course, tried to leave Toronto as much as I could. So it's like, you know, it's like being in New York, like you grew up in New York, you're not going to be on air in New York instantly. Well, like you are, but like you're not really everyone else is. And so some of us have to go to buttfuck nowhere and like, like try to keep going. And I sent out tapes, or sorry, DVDs. We have now progressed to 40 Blu-ray. Different networks in Canada. And like for any of Canadian people listening or anything, it's like Global, CTV, CBC, from the Yukon to Prince Edward Island, across the entire country, 40 different tapes. And I got one response from Medicine Hat that was like, thank you for sending this. We have no jobs. And I was like, out of all that, that's all I got back. And then luckily, long story short, went to Fox Soccer Report in Winnipeg. Won't talk soccer, but it was like,
thank you.
I was working, just writing scripts. Learned a lot there. And that was when the Jets came, like right then. And it was, that was really cool to like be around Jets 2.0, all that kind of stuff. But I was like, I need to get more on-air experience. So I went to Regina, Saskatchewan, the City of the Rams was fun. Love this place. And then that's where I got like my most experience being like an anchor, reporter, you know, video journalist, director, graphics person.
Yeah, you've done everything. Yeah.
Like it was, you know, they throw you in and it's like, go cover a curling event out in Weyburn, Saskatchewan, which is like 2 hours away. Come back, anchor, write, you know, cut it all up, write it, anchor it. The amount of bloopers I have are insane. I have some on like hidden on YouTube, which I was actually looking at them last night and I'm like, these are such gold that we had, like the amount of stuff that went to air that was like, okay, one story I had. So you had to like, you would edit, you know, say I edited highlights of a hockey game, like an NHL game. So I'd record it and then like edit it and it'd be like Rangers Devils. I'd probably never do that, but like something Canadian it would be at that point. Rangers Jets. And then you'd put it into the folder of where it's supposed to go on air. That's like the slug of like going on air. Well, then I would have named another game that as well. And I remember being on the desk once and I was like, all right, this afternoon, like Rangers taking on Jets, first period, blah, blah, blah. And I'm reading my highlights and I just look up. I'm like, this game happened a week ago. Yeah. So let's take a look at what happened. Wow. Remember this great goal? And like, I then just like, my God, like, and there's no one really there to sort of be like, scold you. Like you knew you messed up. You're on TV and you're like, okay, well, that was a mistake. And there was so many great things that I now look fondly back on. But at the time I was like, get me out of here. I need to go somewhere else. And then luckily, when you mentioned I work at Fox Sports, that's like, I was born into America at that point. Like I had a whole career in Canada, you know, where I was whatever I was. And then, then I came to the States and one of my former agents was like, you have to remember like people.
Oh, there it is.
There it is.
We were warned about it.
Oh my God.
Push the button. That's it. I hear it from like outside. I hear people outside their phones going off. That's the national FEMA test that we were warned about. Sorry, everybody.
Oh, I just had a little myocardial infarction.
You literally
right
knew
there.
It was coming. How are you? So
I knew it was coming. It's like a haunted house. Like ear, I know. No, it wasn't. Thank the Lord. Oh God. All right. Well, we're back on track here. That's real life, folks. That's
all this in for sure. No
editing. That's TV. We just dealt with it. See, I want to know what happened. Like, did the people on New York One right now receive that? And they all were like, you know?
1,000%. I should have had Pat McAfee on right now with no volume. I wonder if he reacted to it.
Oh, he would love that. love Pat McAfee. Worked with him at Barstool, where you mentioned. And then, did a whole tour around everywhere. Have lived 500,000 lives. And I'm not as old as you would think based on that. But, yeah, it's been a hell of a ride.
Mm-hmm. Well, the journey is definitely insane for sure, right? You're a unicorn, I think, in that sense. You know, I don't.
Okay,
you know?
Sure. Thank you.
I mean, it's a compliment. It's a compliment.
Oh, I know it's a compliment. Yeah, I wouldn't call me a unicorn. I call me like a. It's like Kate McKinnon on SNL. I love the sketch from with the aliens when they come back and they're like, "Oh man, like tell us what it was like." Ryan Gosling's in that sketch. Justin Timberlake, or no? But yeah, Ryan Gosling's like, "Oh yeah, the aliens were so nice to us." Da-da. And she's like, "Yeah, it was a little different for me." Like, what? You guys got that treatment? That's how I feel about my career. It's like everyone's like, "Wow, this was like so great, and I got this job so easily, and everything was amazing." And I'm like, "Yeah, it was a little different for me."
I don't know. I don't know who.
But I love it.
You just remind me of like a bit I heard like 2 months ago. It's a comedian. I forget his name, and I wish I could like, you know, say exactly who it is. But it was like how if I were to time travel, I wouldn't even be able to tell people in the past like what the future is like because I wouldn't know how to explain it. It's like, if I went back to 1920 and explained like, oh, I could call my friend in England, they'd be like, how? I was like, I don't fucking know, but I just put a number.
Yeah. They'd be like, but what is the technology? And you're like, I don't know. It's like this phone thing. They're like, and how was it made? And you're like, I don't know. Yeah. Like, just.
I might have to find that bit and throw it in here. But let's get back on track a little bit. So the big talking point right now, at least from what I'm seeing on social media, is this frozen frenzy that's taking place on October 24th. All 32 teams in action, 16 games on a Tuesday night. The NHL is owning a night of the week, doing a red zone style ESPN channel. What are your thoughts on this? Because I've been preaching for this for like years now, and I'm so pumped.
Yeah, I know.
Finally here.
I think, first of all, I thought you were going to try to take credit for it. No. I mean,
I've done that.
I have been tweeting about this ever since Red Zone was made. I think every NHL person and any sport, like I would love that for college football as well. My God. But I think it's ambitious. I think it's amazing that they're trying it. I'm very behind it. I think it's going to be so exciting to watch this. I send my T's and P's to Bucci Gross and Kevin Weeks doing this because it's going to be really hard. Yeah. And to the entire production staff with like, they said it's going to be every goal, every hit. Yeah. Like, I was like, oh God. Like, again, that brought me back to my shot list or days where I'm like, oh no. Like just like typing like everything going on. But I think the harder part is that like in Red Zone, we know when a team is in a scoring position, right? Like goals can happen so randomly in hockey. Yeah. Like a goal can come from so many different ways. It's not like you have to be in the offensive zone for like you to cut to it, right? Yeah. Like understandably a power play would be like a great time to be like, all right, let's cut to this. Like da da da. You know, the NHL network did that kind of stuff too, right? Like going around being like
and stuff like that. Yeah.
Live look-ins. Yeah. But this, I think it's amazing. Like I'm very excited about it because you know what it's like with hockey. And it was very paramount during the playoffs last year where I'm trying to watch the Rangers and Devils. I'm also trying to watch Toronto and Tampa on at the same time. Just nightmare status for me. I was like, my boyfriend's a big Rangers fan and I'm in New York. I'm obviously following them as well. And we had to like have one on a computer, one on TV. And then if like one, if our teams were like not doing well, we'd like switch it up. Being like, okay, no, you get the TV for this period. Like I'll go on the computer, like anything like that. And so, yeah, if there was like a red zone that would, I mean, that's playoffs, but like,
I thought you were just renting tables at the Canuck and watching them all.
Well, I mean, yeah, that will be what happens. I'm actually thinking about going to the Canuck today for the Blue Jays second game. When I don't know when this comes out, but the Monday. Blue Jays will likely be eliminated from the postseason by the time this airs. So, but yeah, the Canuck is a great spot for hockey.
Yeah, no, the Canuck is, I've heard they have a Tuesday night trivia, which I need to get to. I haven't been there yet.
I want to get to that too.
Yeah, you're probably the best trivia person, I feel like.
I'm not. I am not good at trivia. I watch Jeopardy every night and I'm always just blurting out like not even the right category of an answer.
It doesn't surprise me, actually.
Shut up. I am Michael Scott. Like, I am Michael Scott.
Yeah. He has a hypothetical gun.
Yes.
So I want to ask you about Pierre Laviolette. I know you have, you know, relationships with a lot of coaches in the NHL, and I know this is leading into John Cooper, I'm assuming, but as far as your relationship goes with Lavi, do you have any expectation for him with the Rangers, and do you think there could have been a better fit for the Rangers? Because I actually was against it at first, and I talked to this I talked about Laviolette with Emily Kaplan like 2 weeks ago, and, you know, she basically said that retread narrative, right? Like, it didn't seem so sexy at the start. But he actually could be the right guy. So what are your thoughts on the Laviolette hire and if there was anyone better?
Right. I mean, I think that, first of all, I don't know him personally. I've covered him with Nashville. Ooh, that was dating me. And
not really.
I do think, I don't know what day it is. but I do think, like, if you have a team that has done as well as the Rangers have done, like, I would just do... I was not surprised that they went with Lav, and I think that that's probably with what you have. It's not necessarily the coach's problem, although the decision making is of course big in playoff moments and whatnot. But like obviously, reading a lot of the stuff coming out of the preseason with Larry Brooks talking, you know, he used both quotes from Gallant and then also Laviolette and kind of switched them up as like they're basically saying the same thing. They have a lot of talent, but like they need to figure out how to play as a unit. And like, also another thing is just the storylines in the preseason for the Rangers are wash, rinse, repeat a lot of the time. And that doesn't, regardless of coach, they, I think with the players that they have, you couldn't necessarily go too risk, like too off the board with like a coach, because you're so close. You know, you ran up against a team that was not a good team for you to get up against, but like you still had really good players. You still have very good players, but now it's like, I'm kind of worried about them, to be honest. I'm worried about their fitness level. I know we've seen injuries in training camp. I just like, I don't know. I have a weird vibe around the Rangers heading into this season, even though they have the window still open. Mm-hmm. They have really good players, but I'm not sure how it's all going to work out really when it comes, when push comes to shove. But I do agree. I think of all the candidates, like Peter Laviolette would be the one to stay the course, but like, who's to say Gerard Gallant could like still have done exactly the same thing. But sometimes you just need a new voice in your ear telling you something different, right?
Mm-hmm. Well, I know I do want to ask you about John Cooper, because he's one of my favorite coaches in the NHL. And, you know, I know you're very tight with him. Are the Tampa Bay Lightning done? Is there a window shut? Because obviously the Vasilevsky news happens, and they've been, you know, some, I don't want to say they've been like underrated, but no one picks them ever to win the cup, I feel like, in the regular season.
I know.
They always just appear in the playoffs. But now, like, you know, I've had this narrative of the Metro is somewhat out with the old, and the Eastern Conference is out with the old and in with the new, with like the emergence of Ottawa and Buffalo and these teams coming up now, and Florida's run last year. Like, where do you rank Tampa and like the Penguins, the Capitals, the rain? Like, are these teams like one or two more years left? And then who knows?
I think like it's very interesting with Tampa, because having Vasilevsky go out is not good. Like, mm-hmm. and having him have been the backbone of this team and having him have played as many games as he did, not good at all. I think that honestly, Tampa felt like they were playing with house money even last year, mm-hmm. even like potentially the year before as well, where yeah. it was like, I mean, they were so close to even being eliminated, not even getting to that point so many times. Yeah. And that 2022 season, like Cooper always, he always referenced back to like game six against Toronto. Like we were done, we were blah, blah, blah. And it's like, then we like figured out, turned it on. And I'm always like, oh, like, of course it was that, you know, like,
so happy you figured okay, so, it out.
Like I'm a Toronto fan, but when I cover the game, I love covering the game, because then I can just take that off. Like I'm like, great. Now I don't have to think about being like into Toronto, which was during that was when I got COVID, because I was covering that series. As I've obviously mentioned 500,000 times, as my personality. It was so great covering that series, because I could just be completely unbiased and be like, okay, Leafs are down 3-0 in the first period in game three or game four. Looks like our interview with Sheldon Keefe is off at the 15-minute mark or whatever, the first time, or sorry, the 10-minute mark. I'm thinking about that. I'm not thinking about the Leafs being down 3-0. I'm like, okay, what am I asking Keefe at this moment? Like that was ideal mm-hmm. as a broadcaster. But I think Tampa, I mean, I don't expect anything really from them this year. And I think that they will try to use that. I know that they've lost a couple of key players and that they're still in the mix. Like they're one of those teams. It's like, they're not, it's like a cockroach. Like they're just not dead until you yeah. know that they're dead. Like until you literally stomp on them. Like they could just like be a cockroach that just like looks like they're dead. And then they like flip over and they're like, oop, nope, I'm alive. And very New York reference.
Cockroaches like that have you dealt with?
Oh my god, that's like that's the cockroach playbook right there. You haven't lived in the a pre-war building of what war we're not sure. And so, but I think that Washington's interesting. I was listening to the Ryan Dregs podcast, where it's like there's going to be a lot of focus on Ovechkin getting to that goal mark. Maybe not necessarily like their team is also like a little bit like, you know, put together in a way. And then the Penguins, of course, like we're seeing them try to run it back with like a lot of older guys. And I think as we see the season go on, like it takes a toll on these guys' bodies, obviously. And so I think it's like that, the doldrums type of time, you know, between All-Star or like even January to All-Star, like around there where you're like, what's our identity? What's this kind of stuff? Like maybe January type of time where like, are we in, are we out? Are we, do we have any kind of, who are we? I think honestly, it's gonna, I mean, New York and like the Devils, I hate to say this, but I did put a little bit of a wager on the Devils too. Once Tyler Toffoli signed there, I don't know. There was just something inside of me that said, yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, it was bold. Actually, I was showing my bet slip to my boyfriend and he was like, whoa, whoa, whoa. Wait a second. Do you put money on the Devils to win the cup? I was like, well, let's look at the date. Oh, that was the date Tyler Toffoli was signed. I just had a vibe. Okay. Like,
so
Carolina, of course, we know is like one that's just one of those annoying teams. It's just like, oh God, it's the same thing every year with them. Right. But
I feel very strongly that the cup goes back to Canada this year.
Now you just jinxed it right there. Who?
Either Edmonton or Toronto. I really think it's Edmonton though. I think it's Connor's time. He's now lost, you know, back-to-back years to the eventual Stanley Cup champion.
Yeah.
This is the best team he's been on, I think, in his career, right? The best top-to-bottom roster the Oilers have had going into the full season. I am very confident that it's his time. But not everyone feels that way.
For a long time, Johnny. Like, you know.
Well, look at Nate. Nate was, like, you know, 9 years in, and he had that press conference. Like, you know, I've been in the league for 9 years, haven't won jack shit or whatever. I feel like Connor's kind of.
Mm-hmm. That was great. That was very, that was nice, authentic. I think that it would be of them. Yeah, you're right. I think of all the Canadian teams, it's Edmonton. Mm-hmm. I don't think it's Toronto. I don't think it. And it always comes down to goaltending.
Yeah.
The goaltending is not horrible, but it's not great. Unlike your New York Rangers, who have now are definitely the best goaltender in the league, if not already beforehand.
Yeah.
But now with the Rangers, it's like, how can you win and not just rely on him? Like what happens if anything happened to Igor? Like, God forbid, you know,
toast.
Like
toast,
absolute toast. And like Quick hasn't looked particularly great, even though I did watch Quick win that cup. I was
getting to that next.
Yes, end scene. I will stop talking about that.
Oh, okay. You want me to just transition? Or do you want to transition yourself? You've done this a million times. Would you prefer me to do it?
And on the topic of Jonathan Quick, which is the irony of him being with the New York Rangers, is just how he was the one that inflicted so much pain on them in 2014 during that Stanley Cup run, which is so vivid to so many New York Rangers fans, because it's like on paper and in like the history books, it's like, oh, the Rangers lost to the Kings in 5 games. It's like, oh my gosh, it was so much closer than that. Like the amount of overtimes there were.
It's the Rod Brindamore. We didn't get swept. We didn't get swept. The Rod Brindamore.
Right? No. And from that game when they didn't get swept, Madison Square Garden, we'll never forget it. Watching, I'm standing. They have two lines, you know, in the Stanley Cup. It's like the winning team and the losing team. And you are like, at this point at Madison Square Garden, because it was like the cup could have been won that night. And it's like, I'm going to go for the winning team, but we didn't know which one, like, is this going to be going back to LA or whatever? And I'm standing beside Gary Bettman and the cup was right there. And like the puck just stopped on the line. Remember with Hank and Net?
That was,
and I'm like watching that and it was like, oh my gosh, like that. Mm-hmm. It felt like some like otherworldly presence was just like coming and being like, nope, we're going back to LA. Like, it's not happening here.
That was during the time of the Lance Stephenson meme, because he like blew on LeBron at the free throw line. And so there's like a good Lance Stephenson like blowing on the puck. I remember that vividly. That was
I remember, and I was like, I'm beside Bettman, the cup, the puck is stopped by some weird thing. It was like a very odd moment. But I loved covering that series, because when I, you know, getting to know the New York media was great. Everyone, because I also covered from the Montreal Canadian series as well, got a lot of great cities involved in this cup run. And then like getting to know John Giannone, Kenny Albert, Katie Strang at the time, Bruce Beck. Oh my gosh, Bruce Beck and I would do stand-ups beside each other. And that guy like works his tail off. Like, it was just so great. Kareth Burke, she was with SNY. It was just wonderful meeting all these people from New York. And then in the LA game. They're in overtime. And this was on the play that, well, before this, we all in the media room, like, bet on who was going to have the game-winning goal.
Mm-hmm.
Apparently, this is a thing they do every year. This is my first Stanley Cup I covered. Everyone's already picked. And I was like, Alec Martinez.
No, you
didn't. I remember, like, yeah, I did. So I picked Alec Martinez, and mostly because my friend was dating him at the time, and he hadn't been chosen yet. And so
only one
Yeah, he was the only one left. My friend was dating him. I'm like, yeah, let's go with him. And also because he'd scored in game 7 in the previous round.
Yeah.
But then I remember when I was sitting there and I was like, like, I hope the Rangers score because I want to go back to New York. And like, I remember Dreger and Bob McKenzie and everyone just looking at me like.
Yeah, nobody wants that red eye flight.
What? They were like, we want to see our families, Julie. Like, we have lives. I was like, oh, okay, sorry. Like, it's just me, like, going, New York is so cool. Like, I just wanted to, like, go back. I'm like, yay, get to go to Times Square. Like, obviously, I didn't live here then. And then I remember when we knew the Kings had scored, but we're in the press room, and it's, like, 15 seconds behind. And we're like, oh, my God, the Kings scored. So we're, like, getting ready to go to, like, the Kings locker or whatever, I guess, on the ice.
Yeah.
And then – but we had to see the play develop because it was like, wait, how does this end up happening? And I remember just being like, oh. And then I'm like, oh, my God, Alec Martinez scored. And then I remember whoever was running it was like, Julie Stewart Binks? Like, who? Like, first of all, like, who the hell is that?
Picked who the Alec hell is Martinez? Happy Gilmore?
Like, me. Yeah. I was like, that's me over here. And I was like, then I got all the cash. And I was like, yeah, great. And I remember everyone just looking at me like, whatever. And obviously, we had more important things to do at that time. And apologies. I know even just mentioning that is like triggering. So,
no, that's so funny. It's hilarious that you picked Martinez and it was like your first final. I still stand strong in the belief that had Chicago won that Western Conference final, the Rangers would have beaten the Blackhawks in that final.
Yeah, but LA was playing with like a weird thing because they were like always going to be eliminated every series, and they just clawed their way back from the death every single time.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, no, that was a tough one. That was senior year of high school for me. But let's talk about more current. The biggest difference between the 2021-22 Ranger group to last year, and I guess not what you expect from them this year, but what gear has to flip?
Well, let's look at last year's storylines and just recycle them. Are the kids going to take the next step? What happens with Alexis Lafreniere? We know that right now, I guess today he was not skating with like the team necessarily, been flipping around from the right and the left side.
He's played a lot of preseason games, so he's getting a night off.
It's just like a lot of like, what is the future projection of Lafreniere? And then also like, can Kaapo Kakko play on the top line? Like,
is that me?
You know, I'm just media person covering the Rangers. Like, it's the same thing, right? Can this team win without having Igor stand on his head every night? What does Chris Kreider look like this year? Like, how is he? I mean, time always wins. So what does that look like? He's older. He's very effective, but it's a new year of school. I don't know what happens. Him and Mika, obviously great chemistry. We know they're BFF, AEA, like us. Although I think they're at a different level than we are.
Yeah.
And then, obviously Panarin, I'm still like, it just shook me the other day when I fully realized that he'd shaved his head. I was like, I was just like, oh my God. It's like, I woke me up in the middle of the night. I was like, oh my God, Panarin shaved his head. It's going to be weird too without Tarasenko as well. Like, I kind of liked him with them. And then Hedel, like how he's, what they're like, I just like, I'm curious how the season is going to be on their bodies. Like, I don't know. They've been really lucky in a way of like not necessarily having too many huge injuries.
Please knock on wood.
Pardon me?
Please knock on wood.
Yeah. And so, I mean, aside from Kane and like that kind of stuff, but Yeah, and just there's just questions on like the older guard, the Criders, Miga, like the older guard, but like those kind of guys and how what their evolution might be like. And then versus, you know, we're kind of still waiting to just see Kapo Kako break out, like Lafreniere break out. Who's going to be trying, who's nipping at them to try to like get those spots? Is anyone actually really nipping? Like there are, and if they are nipping, can they be those guys that like fill in and do, you know, the job? I think it's great. Blake Wheeler also, yeah. Huge storyline. I like him coming. I know a lot of people are a little like suspect about it, but I think it will be a surprisingly good addition for the amount of money spent on him too.
Mm-hmm. I have two more for you. Is that okay?
Yeah.
Okay. So before I go into a storytelling one, I want to make a friendly wager with you. If you agree, obviously, if you feel the other way, you don't have to. Who has more points this season, Artemi Panarin or Mitch Marner?
Oh, Mitch Marner.
Because I actually think it's Marner too, but I would bet Panarin because of the New York-Toronto rivalry that we have.
Even though it's okay, not good. I got Marner then. Yeah.
So
okay, I like Marner up there on the top line with Bertuzzi and Matthews. Let's go.
I see Marner putting up 100 this year.
Yeah, I the guy deserves it. If anyone deserves something good, it's Mitch Marner.
Mm-hmm. No, I agree. Big fan of his. And then to wrap it up, can you give me your favorite New York sports media moment?
When I got to be on with Mike Francesa for my first time in 2014, because I was on FS1 doing the updates when his radio show was simulcast on, mm-hmm. and I would do the updates, and then someone called in and was like, "Who the hell is Julie Stewart Binks?" And he's like, "I don't know. Is she some blonde? Like Fox loves blondes, and obviously I'm blonde." And they just were like talking about me or whatever. And then he called me. He got my number from like my news director. And he's like, I'm so sorry. I'm not going to do it. Like, if you're ever out here, like you come on and we'll talk hockey, blah, blah, blah. And so then I didn't realize how big Mike was until I came on and I came in studio. And it's like, there's just this picture of us looking at each other. And I don't know why we're like smiling. And it's like the Rangers were up against like the Habs and we were talking hockey. And like my phone just blew up. It was just like, "Pooh, you're on with Mike Francesa? Like, what the hell?" So that was like one of my first real New York moments.
Mm-hmm. And I guess before I let you go, anything you want to plug or any, I guess, storyline you're looking forward to most in the NHL? What excites you most about the 2023-24 season?
Well, first of all, I'd like to plug my show Off Air with Julie Stewart Binks. If we talk about things that are off air, either off air, you know, people say, "We talked about this off air," or also, I realized after I named the show, off air, what people are like off air. And we do have a couple hockey ones coming up that's on with Bet Rivers on like YouTube, on wherever you get your podcast. And then most exciting storyline, I think, is I'm just excited to see hockey come back. That's every hockey fan right now, because everyone's really scared about what their team actually looks like. You know what? I'm just really excited to watch some hockey. Hockey's back. That's what I'm excited about. And I'm very excited about this Frozen Frenzy, which, of course, was birthed by you a couple years ago. And so if it does or doesn't, if it doesn't work out, it will fall squarely on your shoulders. But we know it will work out. Well, some kid named Johnny Lazarus mentioned this a couple years ago, so we took the idea. So I mean, everyone some just
fucking moron.
Tweet at him. we'll gritty on the ice this year. I'm looking forward to grittying sometime again.
Yeah, we'll have to do that. I mean, hopefully we can do that again. That was sick that we got to go on the ice.
That was
classic. Yeah,
that was unreal. That shouldn't have been allowed, but it happened.
Yeah, it was very much allowed though. But you're the best. Thank you so much. And I'm sure we will cross paths.
You're the best
throughout the season. You're the best. Really want to thank our friend Julie Stewart Binks for coming on the show once again. Like we said in the intro, the Rangers puck drop is Thursday night in Buffalo. Then they go to Columbus on Saturday. And then the home opener is next Monday against the Arizona Coyotes. So a lot of action this coming week.
And then next week, we will start doing two episodes a week. So this is the last week of just one. We're going to be, you know, in the action, in the mix for the rest of the season. Avery will be back as well. Cody, any final thoughts before we end it?
No, that's it. LFGR, baby.